This is Building Bridges, produced and hosted by Mimi Rosenberg and Ken Nash. The Walmart and Sam Club's lawsuit could be a game changer for corporate gender discrimination. Employers everywhere want to see whether the Supreme Court says a single class action lawsuit can include as many as 1.5 million employees of Walmart and Sam's Club. Initially, six women filed suit accusing the retail giant of not providing the female workers with the same compensation and promotional opportunities as men.
If the court rules this now class action suit can include all 1.5 million workers, it could set a new precedent for the broad class action suits against large employers. The suit encompasses workers from nearly 3,400 stores nationwide. The scope of the suit can put tremendous pressure on Walmart to settle.
And to remedy its offensive practices, as well as seriously affect other employers' discriminatory gender discrimination practices and behavior. Now with us is Stephen Tinkler, lead counsel for the Walmart plaintiffs.
Hi.
Why don't we begin by telling us a little bit of the causes of action, what the underpinnings of this really critical and unprecedented suit is.
The underpinnings are that we brought this case 9 years ago claiming that Walmart discriminates against women both with respect to pay and promotion. I mean, that's the real simple version. And that was certified as a class in 2004 by Judge Martin Jenkins in San Francisco in the Federal District Court. And it's been on appeal since June of 2004. Which is when the case was certified. And it was certified on both issues, pay and promotion, equal pay and unfair promotion practices. The case, when it was certified after a lengthy discovery and a great deal of evidence being accumulated against Walmart, which was the basis of the class certification. And we had experts, both labor experts and statisticians, who had analyzed their whole database and determined that, in fact, they discriminated against women with respect to pay in every region that they have stores, which is there's 41 regions in the U.S. And our statisticians found that they discriminated against all the women in every type of pay, which is covered by this case, which is really mainly the hourly worker. This case does not cover the workers in Bentonville, the executives. It's at the store level, and that's where the case is culminated.
Stephen, what about, aside from pay issues, what about other conditions and promotional opportunities? Is that part of the suit?
Yes, it's for promotion as well. And it was certified on promotion as well. And the promotion claims are that basically women are not given the same promotion opportunities as men. I mean, that's the simple version. And it basically, at the time we filed the suit, there was no posting of management positions at Walmart. And so women really had no opportunity to apply for even the lowest level of management. And at the time we filed the suit, the breakdown is that women had about 65% of the jobs at Walmart and 33% of the management position. So it was a flip-flop of their standing at the company. It was basically, you're going to stay in the hourly positions and you're not going to be promoted. Since we filed the suit, approximately 3 years after we filed the suit, they actually started a management training program that you could apply to. And remarkably, I think their numbers have increased in management since they let women start applying for the jobs. But we've been on appeal now for 6 years, so we're actually happy to see that it's finally going to come to an end. Because the Supreme Court's going to weigh in on this in the spring term.
Well, that's what I wanted to ask you about the Supreme Court. Now, as I understand it, the Supreme Court is taking up the issue not on the merits of the case, but on whether this can proceed as a class action lawsuit. Could you explain that to us?
Well, the way it worked is we were certified as a class in the district court. They appealed that to the Ninth Circuit Court of Appeals, who affirmed the district court. Then they appealed it to the Ninth Circuit Court of Appeals en banc, which also affirmed the district court. So now they petition the Supreme Court. And when they petition the Supreme Court, they ask the Supreme Court to basically hear two issues. The first issue is what, under the rule that we brought this case, which is Rule 23b-2 of the federal rules, what is the extent of monetary relief that you can receive under this rule? That's the first question, and that is the question that the Supreme Court agreed to hear. They also asked a second question, which was what I call a kitchen sink question, where they basically attacked class actions from every angle. And that question they did not agree to hear. So they've only agreed to hear the first question, which is what is the form of monetary relief, if any, that you can receive under the rule that we brought this action. And what we're asking for is injunctive relief under the rule, so that we can change the culture of Walmart and the way they treat women in the workplace. That's the primary focus of 23b-2. But 23b-2 also permits one to bring claims for back pay. So basically anyone who has been a victim of unequal pay can recover the back pay they've lost. And that's essentially our monetary claim. And that's the claim that the Supreme Court is agreeing to review.
Stephen, I must admit that I know that employers are trembling in their boots at the thought of the magnitude of this. We're talking about 1.5 million people in 3,400 stores challenging the issue of gender discrimination. The mere size and the underpinnings of this suit, regardless of whether or not they're all dealt with on their merits, should be enough to either force settlement or certainly to cause the business community to cringe, as well it should. So why don't you give us your synopsis of how important a suit and a challenge like this is, and the significance of 1.5 million plaintiffs?
The reason it's significant is because it affects women in the workplace all over the country. Walmart is the biggest employer in the country, so that's why it's so significant. The fact that it may be, it's actually at this point, we don't know exactly how many women are involved because we haven't had any discovery in the case now for over 6 years. But we do know that it's somewhere between 1 and 2 million. And so clearly it's the largest class action in history as far as numbers of claimants claiming employment discrimination. So from that point of view, it does, I think, frighten the business community because they're afraid that if the biggest company in the land can be sued as a class action for unequal pay and promotion, then all the business community is vulnerable. And in this case, when they petition the Supreme Court, the business community filed what we call amicus briefs with the Supreme Court asking them to hear this case. And one brief that I've got here in front of me was filed by Altria Group, Bank of America, Chrysler, Cigna, Del Monte, Dole, Dollar General, DuPont, General Electric, Hewlett-Packard, Kimberly-Clark, McKesson, Microsoft, PepsiCo, Tyson, United Health, United Parcel, and the Williams companies. That's just one brief. So to say the business community is on the side of Walmart is an understatement. And the reason is because the business community doesn't want to be faced with these kinds of suits. From our point of view, they aren't going to be faced with these kinds of suits unless they discriminate against women or if they discriminate because of race or one of the other protected classes under Title VII. So their big fear, from our point of view, is really an unwarranted fear. As long as they treat people equally, they're not going to be sued. The reality is Walmart has not treated women equally historically, and that's why this case was brought, and it's why it was certified as a class. You know, this is not a case that was just simply brought and we simply asked them to certify it. We took between the two sides, the plaintiffs and the defendants, there were 175 depositions taken. There were a million documents produced, and there were experts, statisticians, sociologists, and labor experts that weighed in on our side to convince the court that discrimination did, in fact, happen at Walmart. And we're confident, we didn't bring the case for them to cave-in, we knew when we brought the case against Walmart that it would go all the way. That is Walmart's, that's the way they operate.
But, Stephen, what's a poor business operator to do? You're taking six initial plaintiffs, and you're now exponentially replicating them into a class action of $1.5 million. But who's to really say that this was a common practice? What do you have to substantiate that and say that it really goes from six original plaintiffs to all the women who work in those 3,400 stores?
Well,
oh, you bad lawyer, you.
Well, what we have is the first, we have anecdotal stories from women all over the country that all submitted affidavits in support of the class certification motion. We had, I think, roughly 80 women who were deposed by Walmart, all of whom had similar experiences, which is being discriminated with respect to pay and promotion. And then more importantly, we have documents that are actually go back years and years, where Walmart acknowledged internally that they were behind the curve on the treatment of women, and they did nothing about it. And then on top of that, during the course of the case, we had their entire employee database produced to us, and our statisticians reviewed it nationwide and found that women were paid across the board between 5% and 15% less for same job that men were paid. And that is our evidence at this point. So that's why we can say every woman at Walmart is affected. And, you know, it's not, that's why I'm saying it's not a simple case. It's actually a case that is very well developed. And when their own database, their payroll database, reflects this unequal pay, then they're hard-pressed to defend on that basis. So they are defending on many technical procedural issues.
Well, what are you asking for in the lawsuit in terms of payment to women who have been discriminated against or fines against Walmart? How would that be determined, since people probably weren't discriminated against equally? Some may have been more discriminated against than others.
No, there's a formula that can be used that was actually used at the trial court by our statisticians. It's a formula that can be used where each person will be who worked there, their data will be plugged into the formula, and not everyone would get the same award, but they would get an award for the same kind of discrimination. That's why it's a common claim. For instance, one woman might have made $1,000 a year less than the man of equal in the same job, while another woman may have made $5,000 less. But all that is really mathematically obtainable. It's not a difficult thing to actually calculate, because Walmart is a highly centralized company. They have incredible records. They keep track of everything, and they certainly keep track of all their employees. So we use their data to prove what the actual damages are. But I think it's really important to note that we aren't actually seeking compensatory damages, which is what big business is really worried about and what they're harping about. All we're seeking is back pay for anyone who was not paid equally. That is what we're seeking. And primarily what we're seeking is injunctive relief. In other words, we want the court to impose an injunction on Walmart to change their employment practices so that women are treated equally. That's the primary focus of the case. However, when you prove the case, what you prove is that because of their employment practices, the women across the board were not paid equally, and so for the last 12 years, there are many women who have claims that they were not paid equally, and they are entitled to back pay under the federal law. And that's the only monetary claim in the case.
And what about, Stephen, also in terms of the promotional? Now, these are things that are not registered by pay, but in terms of any kind of punitive damages and actually changing the practices and promotion, will there be any affirmative relief there that begins to do that and redress or give kind of remedial assistance for people who have suffered a lack of promotion and so on?
Well, The promotion claim is a separate claim, and it too was certified, and that will be determined, you know, after liability is established at the trial court, after we get back to the trial court. But there are definite mechanics in proving the promotional claims. The promotional claims will not, however, result in back pay, because we're not entitled to do that under the promotional claims by virtue of the law. But at the same time, we can get those promotions happening currently. The promotion claim is a more difficult claim to prove, but to be honest, it's what really brought this case to our attention in the first place, was when we saw the incredible inequity in the management of by women. They comprise 65% of the workforce and only 33% of management. And that 33% of management that they comprise is at the lowest level of management. When you get into the higher levels of management, the percentages are very low. So the injunctive relief is what will actually help that whole workplace, because it will impose an injunction on them where they have to change their policies so that these promotion discrepancies don't occur. Now, like I said earlier, we think the case has already had a significant effect on Walmart. One of the big claims in the promotion aspect of the case is that they didn't post jobs. And now, since we filed the suit, they started posting management positions for the first time.
Hmm.
And that's for the first time in their history. So we already see effects in the lawsuit, even though it's still going on. They also made a big pay adjustment for women about 5 years ago, all because of this lawsuit. I mean, this lawsuit is really a social engineering suit. That's the purpose. It's to change Walmart so that it treats women equally. And we believe that if the Supreme Court lets us go forward, as all the lower courts have done, then we will be back in the trial court, and we can establish liability against Walmart. The injunction will ensue, and the women who have been, and it'll only be the women who have lost pay, which, as I indicated, is all the women, will be entitled to back pay. Now, Walmart claims that's just too much money involved, but it's not really. It's too much money only because they have so many employees. That's the only reason there are big dollars involved.
So we're not going to break the back of Walmart if this suit is successful.
No,
and
no.
If it's
I mean,
allowed.
Walmart had $400 billion in sales last year.
And how much? Say that again.
$400 billion in sales.
I just want people to be clear on that.
They had $14 billion in net profit last year. This is not going to break the bank. Not at all.
I guess we have to tell that to the business community.
It does get their attention.
It certainly does.
It certainly has gotten the business community's attention, and I must say I am filled with some trepidation these days at whatever rulings might come out of the Supreme Court. How can people find out more about this critical suit, and how can we all be here to champion its cause and to revel in its success when that happens? Where do people find out more about it, Stephen?
Well, there's a website, www.walmartclass.com, and that website tells you everything about the lawsuit. It even has all the legal opinions and most of all of our briefs are on that website as well. That website is actually created originally for all the women of Walmart to come to when they had complaints, and that's how this case got as big as it was, because once we put up the website and once we filed the suit, we've had an incredible response from women that work at Walmart wanting help. Thousands and thousands of women have done intakes with us because they are being treated unfairly. And so there is a lot of weight in our case. Our case is very strong evidentiary-wise. That's why we're quite hopeful that when the Supreme Court sees the whole case, they will, in fact, affirm the lower courts.
And that website?
Let us go forward.
That website is?
WalmartClass.com.
That's easy enough. WalmartClass.com. It's going to be successful. It must be. This is of tremendous importance. And Stephen Tinkler, lead counsel, thank you for all the years and energy that you've put into this critical issue, looking at the issue of gender discrimination by Walmart and Sam's Club against untold, really, numbers of women, or at least 1.5 million that are part of the class action lawsuit now. Thank you so much for joining us and so carefully explaining all the ramifications and implications of this critical issue.
Thank you very much.
Excerpt on discrimination at Walmart from Robert Greenwald's film, Walmart, the High Cost of Low Price.
Members of management that are in the upper echelons of Walmart management talk about how women at Walmart are useless.
I had done receiving manager, I was operation manager, I was merchandise manager, so it's like I kind of did it all.
I cleaned the bathroom every single day. Ken would come to me and he'd say to me, "Oh, it's, you know, it's your turn again." And I look at him, I said, it was my turn yesterday, well, you know. And he'd laugh and we'd joke about it and we'd go back and forth and I'd say, "I know, I'm the only female that's working out here, so hence I have to clean the bathroom."
Nobody said, "Well, why a woman been in this company all of these years? You look at the evaluation. Every general manager stated she should be a GM within a year, within 6 months. Every evaluation. What's wrong with this picture?"
The company hides the fact that these practices are very systemic. They're systemic, meaning that they come out of the home office.
Bottom line, if you were a female, you just weren't worth it. You just were not. You weren't worth the time. You weren't worth the money. You weren't worth the effort. Nothing.
A blind man. My grandmother was blind. She could see better than what you guys are seeing because you put the blinders on. You didn't want to see.
When I called to file a petition or to file a claim against them just to say that they discriminated against me because I was a woman.
I'm Betty. I'm a Walmart associate. I love working at Walmart. I love that they pay me less than men because that means I can't afford to eat as much and I get to keep my figure.
Jim got promoted to management over me, but that's okay because he's a cutie. You go get him, honey.
When I applied for the assistant manager training program, I didn't get any response back at all.
I went through everything that I had done for my store manager and I'd done it like you would do a checklist. Said, "You told me to do this, I did it. You told me to do this, I did it." He agreed on with a nod, and I said, "So now I want what you promised me." He just bluntly told me, "There's no place for people like you in management." And I said, "Well, what do you mean, people like me?" And I said to him, I said that I'm a woman or that I'm black. He said, "Well, two out of two ain't bad."
I was called Milk Boy. Nigger, you know, at this particular store. There was an incident where this one guy's bicycle, they hung it up in the ceiling and put a rope around it, you know, literally put this, lynched this guy's bicycle. This is what they said. But I complained because it was, to me, it was offensive and it was unacceptable. What happened after that? Nothing.
I don't know if I was more devastated than humiliated. But in my mind, the way I love people, I just couldn't see another person, maybe they're not strong as I am, to be able to take that.
This woman walked through the hallway and said, eeny, meeny, miny, moe, catch a nigger by the toe. I reported this incident. Nothing happened.
If you complain about discrimination, they'll just let more people out on you to see if they can really work you out of there or whatever. And that's basically what happened to me. I just got tired.
I start going backwards in my mind of all the different stuff. And it start clicking and clicking. And the more I thought, the worse I felt. Because I felt to myself, you're an idiot. How could you have not known? I was devastated. The time that I spent on those roads, I could have been at home with my husband. But I wasn't, because I was doing my end of what Walmart promised me. If you do this, we will do this. And it was not worth my husband's life.
And the worst part about it is that nobody will ever know how big this is, what happens to people. And there's got to be more people like me out there, but they're too afraid to say anything.
I love my job. It's challenging, but it's really satisfying.
We truly are living the American dream. It's out there, and it's at Walmart.
Well, this has been Building Bridges, your community and labor report with Mimi Rosenberg.
And Ken Nash. And log on to our website at www.buildingbridgesradio.org.